the time.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
He's here. Amen. You might say, well, I don't feel him. Well, I didn't ask you to feel. The Bible says if you've been born again, he's inside of you. The Bible says Christ, which means the anointed one and his anointing is on the inside of you if you've been born again. So if you're here, that means he's here, right? But we're also looking for him to manifest, to reveal himself this morning in this place. Because how many knows, according to Scripture, I have nothing. I can do nothing. But how many knows the one on the inside of me? When we look to him, not to me, because I don't know what you need. I don't even know what I need most of the time, Johnny. Sometimes I think I need one thing, and then the Holy Ghost say, no, this is really what you need. And that's really what I need. But God is good all the time, all by himself. The Bible says, in him is life, and the life was the light of men. The candle of the Lord is on the inside of us. Amen. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I think Pastor Mel brought the scripture up Wednesday. I think he did. Anyway, the Bible says those that follow him, talking about Jesus, they shall not walk in darkness. Right? Why? Because you see light in his light. What does that mean? Like a light bulb? No. You ever been talking to somebody before and you're trying to explain something to them and you can see the look on their face, they're just not getting it. They have no understanding about it. But then all of a sudden it's like, bing! We would call it like a light bulb turns on. Understanding or enlightenment comes. That's what he's talking about. In his light, we see light. And as we follow him, our path, the road we're on, it's supposed to be getting brighter and brighter and clearer and clearer till it shines like the noonday sun. But how many knows the opposite of that also is true? If we don't follow him, we may be saved. Right? But if we don't follow him, what's that mean to follow him? That means wherever he's going, whatever he's doing, whatever he says, that's what I do. That's what I say. That's what I don't do. When you're watching TV and you feel a little something, don't watch that. What's that mean? Follow him. Why? Because, see, if you override that, and I'm not just talking about watching TV or you're going somewhere. How many knows there's places where we should not go? There's things that we should not do. There's things we should not see. There's things we should not hear. Why? Because we are to follow him. And how many knows a lot of things, certain kinds of movies, there's demonic spirits inspired those movies. And the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness. Why? Because you'll get dull. You'll get dark. Your path will get dark. And then you'll be like, I don't know if this is God. You used to know it was God. You used to be real clear about it. But see, the more you override that little prompting of the Holy Spirit on the inside, I'm not talking about your head. I'm not talking about religion either. I'm not talking about what somebody else does. And you might think, well, they do it, you know, and they're so-and-so in the church. Or they do it and they're so... It doesn't matter what they do. It's all about you and your relationship with him and what you get on the inside. If I'm convicted about wearing a red shirt and you're not, wear your red shirt and I don't put my not wearing a red shirt off on you. Ain't that what Paul said? He said, if your brother is offended by you eating certain kinds of meats, he said, then don't do it. Why? Because love is the greatest commandment. Glory to God. I'm trusting the Lord to give us exactly what we need this morning. I feel like I've got two or three messages and we want the right one. And sometimes when I feel like that, it's because, Sandy, you need this, and you need that, and you need that. How many know sometimes we come in here, and we'll all be like on the same page. It's just one outline message, and we all needed the same thing. But how many know sometimes some of us been eating cake, spiritually, and you need a little meat. Why? Because you got to have your protein. Right, Samantha? If you're going to build muscle and get strong, you got to have that protein. Glory to God. We talked last week, I believe, if I remember right, the title was purify our hearts and our motives. Everything with God is about the heart. Everything. The Bible says the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Means my motives, what I mean by what I say and what I do, right? Of my heart. So if you know the Word of God, it'll help you to discern where things are coming from. Because how many knows you need to know where they're coming from? Because you need to yield to the Holy Spirit, but you need to resist the devil and unclean spirits. Because how many knows if you yield to an unclean spirit, guess what you become? Unclean. You yield to a lying spirit, guess what you become? A liar. You yield to the Holy Spirit, guess what you become? More holy. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And he's not talking about going to heaven there. Hey, that was written to born-again believers already. But how many knows? We see him now. We see him on the inside. We see him when he's moving, right? We perceive him. And he says, without holiness. Holiness is not how you dress. There's some religions that teach that. How many knows I can put on a skirt and not wear no makeup and have my hair longer than Aubrey's down to the floor and my heart be so evil, so corrupted that I act and live just like the devil? So then my dress can't be my holiness. And a lot of times they'll use that scripture over there, and what is it, 1st or 2nd Peter, that talks about for women, don't let it be the outward adorning, you know, the braiding of the hair or the wearing of makeup or jewelry. But now he got into talking about fine apparel and all that. Well, if he's talking about we shouldn't wear makeup and we shouldn't wear jewelry, then we shouldn't wear clothes. Ain't that in the same sentence? So we know that can't be right. But go on reading that, and he talks about, but it is the inward adorning of the hidden man of the heart. That man on the inside. Because how many knows, if you get that man on the inside right, going after God, hungering and thirsting for his righteousness, how many knows, the outside man will be right. The outside man will be holy. If the inside man is holy, and... And let me tell you, so I've heard that scripture used the wrong way before, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Usually that comes out of a wrong spirit when you're trying to correct somebody or help somebody in their walk with the Lord. They tell you that, but the Bible says you work out your own salvation. That's exactly what it means. You've been born again. You're now a new creation. Salvation's inside. Now work it out. Work it out through your thinking. Work it out through your talking. Work it out through your behavior. Work it out through your motives. All of that that's come inside of you, now that new creation on the end, let him work his way out. Glory to God. And that's not always easy. Why? Because I live in here too, Sandy. But Paul said, I die daily. Every day I'm supposed to be putting to death by the Spirit, by the desire. How many knows, if you hunger for him more than what you want, he'll win. But see, the Bible talks about it's the strong spirit of a man, that inward man on the inside of you. When he's strong, he's supposed to dominate the outward man. But how many knows, when that outward man, and when I say outward man, what I mean by that is carnal reasoning and desires and all this other kind of things that's just of the flesh, that's not of the Spirit. When that man on the outside is stronger, guess what? He will dominate the man on the inside. That's one of the reasons why around here we read our chapters every day, right? If you don't know about it, every day, Monday through Friday, we got a calendar back there that I put every month that we have where we are in the Bible. Every day, Monday through Friday, we read a chapter of the New Testament. And that's very minimum. But how many knows, Jesus said that the Word of God is food. Your inner man has to be fed. He has to be fed on the Word of God because that's what he eats. You get that through your reading. You get that through prayer time when he speaks to you. You get that through listening to preaching, right? Good preaching. All preaching you shouldn't be hearing. Glory to God. But we talked about purify our hearts and our motives. to God. I was just reminded of that scripture. What is it? 2 Thessalonians, maybe? 5? First, maybe. Anyway, I usually get the first and the second ones of Corinthians and Thessalonians and all those mixed up. But anyway, I think it's like chapter 5 around verse 22, 23. Somewhere. It says, and the God of peace sanctify you, holy, W-H-O-L-O-Y, spirit, soul, and body. The word holiness or holy, when you now, according to Scripture, we've been made holy. When we get born again, we have been made holy. What's that mean? God has separated us, took us out of the world and the control and dominion of darkness, and separated us unto Himself. But how many knows we are also supposed to grow in holiness? That I just quoted the scripture that the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. There's scripture that says for us to purify ourselves. What's that mean? It means God has set us apart, but then we have a life to live. He's not going to separate me from things. What do I mean by that? He's not going to turn the TV off when I'm watching a movie I want to watch that I shouldn't be watching. And you might say, well, I think I can watch anything. You know, it don't really affect. Well, do the after result test. When you're wondering about something that you, whether you should do it or not or whatever, and you do it, then see how you feel. Do you feel pure? Do you feel holy after you do it? Do you feel closer to God? Or do you feel defiled? Do you feel ashamed? Do you feel fearful? That right there ought to tell you exactly what you should do and should not do. Right? So if that is the case, if you're not feeling closer to God or whatever, when you get through doing it, don't do it no more. Separate yourself from it. Separate yourself from that to God. And I'm telling you, the results will be absolutely wonderful. You will see Him and hear Him more. Because if you keep overriding that and you keep doing the thing that you know you don't need to be doing, Paul said, I'm free to do anything I choose to do. So are you. I mean, you want to smoke a joint? The Holy Ghost ain't going to smack it out of your mouth. Or mine. I mean, I'll just say you. I'm talking about all of us. And listen, there's people listening to us all over the world that they listen every week. So we have to feed them too. So if I want to smoke a joint, Johnny, I can smoke a whole bag at one time if I choose to. Guess what? That's not going to be good for me. I can. Does it mean I'm not saved? No, I'm saved. But it's not going to be good for me. And guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get duller and duller. And the Bible talks about dullness of heart and dullness of hearing, right? That's exactly how you get dull. Keep overriding whatever that it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is to you. And maybe somebody else can do a certain thing that maybe you can't. I don't know why, but it seems like to me, Doris and different ones, you can wear red fingernail. I can't wear red fingernail polish. I feel like a floozy. Y'all know what that means? Hoochie mama, floozy, whatever your thing is. I don't know what y'all call it today. Not good anyway. Loose. I don't know. Do you know what I mean by that? And see, I can't go tell. Bless God now, Doris. You just should not wear that red now. That's none of my business, Johnny. I don't know about y'all. I am a 24/7 job. And more than that. So what you do or they do or can't is none of my business. But if I'm convicted of red fingernail polish, then I should not wear it even though they can wear it. Does that mean it's sin? No. But if I wear it and I'm convicted, it's sin to me. The Bible says when a man knows to do right and does it not, it is what? Sin to him. If I'm convicted and I do it, then it's sin to me. What is sin? Missing the mark. You know what the mark is, but you missed it. But thank God there is repentance and forgiveness if we do miss it, right? But holiness is not a dress code. It's not an outward thing, even though it can show up in our outward actions, the way we talk, the way we dress, and different things. But it's a separation in my heart to and for God. It is a love for God and not for this world or the things of this world. Right? And I'm supposed to be growing in it. That was one message. Y'all ready for message number two? Let's move on. I don't know about all that. You'll see. You ever had some of them you really just don't want to do? Glory to God. How many knows He loves us? According to Scripture, what is it? John 15:16. He loves us just like He loves Jesus. He loved us so much He actually gave Jesus for us to get us. Amen? And He does what? He corrects those He loves. If I'm going the wrong way, He's faithful to correct me. Beth, I may have gave you the wrong message. What title you got? That's it. I was just looking on the wrong page. Checking you. Title is Dangers of Money. Ooh, we could hear a pin drop now. Y'all want to get back on holiness, don't you? See, we preach and teach and minister a lot here about money, about prosperity, and not just prosperity concerning money. We believe we are to prosper in our relationships, right? Our marriages should be getting better and better and better, prospering to where there is no divorce in the body of Christ, right? They say it's about half and half, half of the world and half of the church. How many knows that should not be? And then we talk about, you know, prospering in our relationships, prospering in the anointing, you know, different things, prospering in everything. The blessing of the Lord is not a car, it's not a house, it's not clothes. It is an empowerment to prosper and to have good success. When you go back to the blessing in the very beginning, the Bible created Adam and Eve. And the Bible says He blessed them. And what He said was, go forth, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and replenish the earth. That's the blessing. To where we're fruitful, right? In everything. Fruitful in our thinking. Fruitful in peacefulness. Oh, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Right? Prosperous in our finances and different things like that. But there is dangers of what we would call financial prosperity. And the Bible speaks of them. Let's look at Mark 4. If you don't have the Amplified version, Beth will put it on the screen because I think that's probably the one I'm going to read all this from today. Mark chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 13. It says, and He said unto them, this is Jesus talking, He says, do you not discern and understand this parable? He had already told them. Now He's going to explain to them exactly what it meant. How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? The sower sowing the word is kind of like the granddaddy parable of how the kingdom operates. You take the word, you sow it like a man sows in the field. It comes up, brings forth a harvest, right? He says, this is the way of the kingdom. Now we go on 14, the sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept them and welcome it. Woo, glory, that was a good message. But they have no real root in themselves. They don't let that word get in there and take root. And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And the ones sown among the thorns are those who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. Now notice this. And the pleasure and delight and false glamour and what? Deceitfulness of riches. And the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word and it becomes fruitless. But notice what it says there. The deceitfulness of riches. So that tells me there is a deceivingness that is in riches. Let's look at I think 1 Timothy maybe. Glory to God. But notice what he said. All these things, he said, they're going to choke the word. Now see, this is the way of the kingdom, the way it operates. You hear the word of God about salvation. Faith comes. You act on that faith. You repent of your sins. Bam, you're born again. That word came on the inside of you and brought a harvest of salvation. You hear the word on healing. That word gets in your heart. It'll bring you a harvest of health and healing. Right? Proverbs says his word is medicine. Right? Health and healing to all of our flesh. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I really don't want to read this whole thing, but I guess it's needful. I got that in the Amplified too, don't I? Verse 3. But if anyone teaches otherwise and does not assent to the sound and wholesome messages of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the teaching which is in agreement with godliness, piety toward God, he is puffed up with pride and stupefied with conceit, although he is woefully ignorant. He has morbid fondness for controversy and disputes and strife about words which result in produce envy and jealousy, quarrels and dissension, abuse and insults and slander, and base suspicions, and protracted wrangling and wearing discussion and perpetual friction among men who are corrupted in mind and bereaved of the truth, who imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit, a money-making business, a means of livelihood, he says, from such withdrawal. And it is indeed a source of immense profit. For godliness accompanied with what? Contentment. That contentment, which is a sense of inward sufficiency, is great and abundant gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and obviously we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content, satisfied. Now, he's not talking about we should never want anything else. How many knows whatever you have right now, you should be grateful? We should be thankful. Now, we may need a lot of stuff, right? We may need money, we may need health, we may need a lot of stuff. But how many... Are you breathing this morning? Then you should be thankful. Some are not, and they died without him. Are you thankful that you have him this morning? If you had clothes to wear, shoes on your feet, something to eat, we should all be thankful. You know, and there's this thing, just came up this morning, that be careful what you think about what other people have and what they should be doing with it, because it's none of your business. See, Judas, when I believe it was Mary, broke the alabaster box on Jesus, poured it out on him. He had a problem. And he pitched a fit. And he let everybody know it. Why wasn't this taken, sold, and given to the poor? But the Bible says he didn't say this because he cared about the poor. He said it because he was a thief. That was the intent of his heart. It's why he said what he said. Be careful when you have this idea of, what do they need with that? What do they need with a $2.5 million house? They could live in a $100,000 house and they could have give that to the poor. How much are you giving to the poor? That's what you should be concerned. How much am I giving to the poor? Because see, usually people like that, when they're concerned with what everybody else has got and how much they're giving to the poor and how much, they're giving into the kingdom, it's usually you're doing very little. Oh, y'all getting quieter and quieter. Because see, it's easy for me to say, Darcy, you don't need that house you live in. You're a widow woman. What in the world do you need with 1, 2, 3, 4 bedrooms counting a garage you made into? What do you need with that? Well, my grandkid, put him a pallet on the floor. See, I can always minimize your stuff. Oh, we could hear a pin drop now. You can always minimize my stuff, which now I am a minimalist. Scotty, I don't know what you are. That man has all kinds of stuff. I could get rich just selling his stuff. Me, I have very little. He come in the other day and he told me, he said, I'm fixing to go take a shower because I've been working with Doris all day down here and I've got to run Aubrey to her gymnastics lesson, so I got to go get a shower and then I'm going to have to go. He comes, has the audacity to come into the door and tell me I need to use your truck to go check my cows through the cow patties in the pasture, like my truck don't need washing already, but anyway, that's not the point. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, I'm serious. He said, my truck's loaded to his, what is that thing? That Silverado, the white one he's got, is hooked to a long trailer with a tractor on the back. And he didn't want to drive that over there, Donnie. So he wants to drive mine. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, my truck's hooked to that trailer and I don't want to have to unhook it, so I need you. I said, if that ain't the little ewe lamb. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? David, Bathsheba, Uriah, and Nathan told him about the little ewe lamb. You have all of this and you could have had even more, but no, you got to have the one that's not supposed to be for you. I told him, I said, are you serious? I said, you got five. I got one vehicle, Johnny. One. He's got five. I kid you not. He's got five that he could drive. And he comes down there wanting mine. Needless to say, he didn't get it. Be careful. Do you get what I'm telling you? Be careful. Why? There's dangers. There's dangers. The other day, the Lord spoke this to me about there's a danger in having money. Most of y'all know we got a pool in the backyard. Jesus Playhouse and all that, you know. Most of y'all have been over there. Anyway, the pump quit working right. So if you're going to have a pool and it not be green and full of tadpoles, I mean, you got to have a pump. And with Scotty, you got to have galore of chlorine, but anyway, we won't get on that. So the pump is not working right. We need to vacuum the floor and all this stuff. So lo and behold, we have some money, and he gets on the internet and just orders one. Well, lo and behold, he's going somewhere, and he comes across a guy, Johnny, that's got one better than the one he ordered for way less money, and he buys it. Now, the one he ordered comes in a couple of days later, but when he got home with that one that he bought and he told me about it, I'm mowing the grass and all of a sudden I heard on the inside here, that's the dangers of having money. Let me tell you what was the danger. God was not salt about the pool pump. God was not asked about the pool pump. See, we used to ask when we had to believe God for wash rags. The Bible says, don't put your trust in uncertain riches, and you would say, I never would. Did he? See, that's a danger. The Bible says in Proverbs, in all of our ways acknowledge the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart, right? Trust in the Lord, not trusting in my money to get what I need. But trusting in Him. Why? Johnny, he knew that was coming up. He had that the whole time. You know where that pump is that he gave way more money for? It's put up. We don't even use it. It's put up. So what happened? It was wasted. Because see, God had the pump. He had the person and had given the means, but all he needed was salt. See, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And most people stop right there. Well, I prayed about that. What'd you hear? I didn't hear nothing. What'd you do? The next verse says, and He will direct your path. See, Sandy, when I had to believe Him for wash rags, when we had to believe Him to fix Greg's hood, we sought Him. Right? So there's a danger in having money and not seeking God. Because, see, it doesn't matter if I have the money or I don't have the money. God should be sought. Why? He's my Father. He's my Lord. He's supposed to direct my path. See, it's not all about me. How do I know that God's not believing? I mean, that man's not believing God to sell that pump because he has need. And God is saying, I love him just as much as I love you, Scotty. I'm going to meet his need and I'm going to give you a good deal. But no, you had to go do it on your own. How many things do we do on our own? And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I ask God, I look on the inside when I go to get our clothes out on Sunday and Wednesday for what we wear to church. Because I believe if I can hear Him, sense Him, perceive Him in the little things, I will hear Him in the big. It's that same voice. And I don't go in there and be like, well, I'm really not hearing nothing today. When I'm not really sensing anything or picking up anything, I'll get something like, He can't come here naked. I mean, let's don't get dumb about this. Right? But at the same time, we should seek Him. We should ask Him, because He's got a plan in everybody else's life too. And it may be I need to do something, buy something they got or give to them or something another. So that one of the dangers in money is just trusting in that money. You wouldn't think that you do. But when, how many knows when you just take it and you just go and get and you just do, you never acknowledge the Lord. How many knows you can add to yourself with credit? Been there, done that. Danger. I'm telling you, major danger in credit. You know why? Because you don't have to ask the Lord if you got good credit. All you got to do is sign your name on the dotted line for 500 easy payments of $300 a month, and I'm going to believe God to make all the payments. Why didn't you believe God for cash then? Oh, we're getting real quiet. A lot of Christians live their lives from paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of it is they're using credit instead of following God. Been there, done that. To the point to where we were so maxed out at one time. And Scotty missed a paycheck a couple of weeks. And we couldn't make the payments on all of our stuff. Guess what we did then, Johnny? Oh, I'm telling you, he's on the front porch, I'm on the back porch. We're squalling, bawling, and praying and seeking God. But we didn't do all that when he's signing on the dotted line. Well, and use the scripture, God gives me all things richly to enjoy. Don't quote that out of context when the Holy Ghost ain't saying it. You get yourself in trouble. I get myself in trouble. So what we had to do, Johnny, was he's on the front porch praying, seeking God. I'm on the back, and we asked God, we repented, God, we are sorry. We have done this. Why, how did we do it? Let our flesh go and didn't seek God. That's all you got to do. Because the thing about the flesh, there's nothing never enough for the flesh. You give it one ice cream, an hour later it wants another one. You give it one car, 2 months later, woo, they got a new version, I need that one. Y'all get what I'm telling you? So we begin to seek God, and God began to direct our path. Thank you, Lord. He told Scotty, he said, I want you to sell that. It was a big silver Dodge that we had. He told him, he said, I want you to sell that. Scotty said, okay, we agreed. Whatever you tell us to do, Lord, that's what we're going to do. And let me say, it's way better if you seek Him before then and you have to go there. So lo and behold, God told him to sell that. We agreed to it. He needed some parts for something. He goes in down there. That's when Willie Marsh Auto Parts was still down there right before you get to the bridge down there on the left. He walks in there, and I think it was his wife said something about he was looking for a truck. See, now God set this up. If you will acknowledge Him, He will direct your path if you'll agree to it. He walks in there. Willie's wife starts talking to Scotty about Willie's wanting a truck. He wants a Dodge, and he said, well, I got a Dodge. He's wanting a straight shift. I got a straight shift. He likes silver. I got a silver. Is that not exactly right? He went out there, looked at that. He bought that truck, Johnny. Because see, as we sought the Lord and we repented, changed, quit that mess, He told us what to do, and He already had somebody lined up to buy it. But you don't want to have to go there. And I'm not telling you credit is bad. I'm not telling you God won't lead you to buy. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you seek the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He knows the best way. His blessing is in you and on you to prosper you and cause you to have good success. Sometimes He doesn't bring money in a dump truck load. He gives it to you in benefits. You'll get something way cheaper than somebody else or what it should have cost. But if I go and I do it myself, I don't get that. Jesus. One time we lived over yonder in that trailer. I wanted a box in our back porch. Now, we got this big old shop, two-car garage out back, you know, full of stuff. And this house is, this trailer, 16 by 80 trailer, there's just three of us full of stuff. This was later on in life. After we've been serving the Lord for a while, and I was telling Scotty, I said, listen, I need you to box this back porch in. I've got to have room to put this stuff in. He's like, yeah, okay, you know. And that went on for a while, and I kept saying, all of a sudden, one day I said that, the Holy Ghost on the inside of here. He said, if you'll get rid of some of that junk you got, you won't need a room. I don't know how he talks to y'all. He just talks to me real plain because that's the way I got to have it. I understand it. And he said, if you'll get rid of some of that junk you've got, you won't need a room, that room boxed in back there. And I thought, hey, I never thought about that. That's how I know it didn't come from me, Johnny. It'd be like, bing, and you're like, hey, that wasn't my idea. So lo and behold, I had a yard sale. Got me some cha-ching and got rid of the stuff. And I did. I tell you, to this day, we never did box that back porch in. It wasn't needed. Oh, boy, y'all hoarders have had a hard time today, huh? I don't know what y'all are, if you're hoarders or not. I am not a hoarder. Now, Scotty, some things I would say he might be considered a hoarder. You know, and me, I'm more of a minimalist. If I'm not using it in a week or two, it's out of here. And then sometimes, see, that's wrong because sometimes after that, I might have needed it 3 weeks later and then I have to go round one up somewhere. So we all need to be led in whatever we do, don't do. I tell him all the time, you're just so needy. You just need something all the time. God, why can't you just not need nothing? Somebody came in my house a couple years ago. We was having some people come and do some work for us. And anyway, they need to use the bathroom. So they come in the house, you know, and they're looking around. They go to the bathroom. They come out and they sit looking around. And they said, you know, I thought your house would look a lot different than what it does. And I knew what they were saying, Johnny. I said, oh, yeah, what do you mean by that? Well, I just thought it'd look a lot different. And they went out the door. See, I knew what they meant when they said it. Because I'm not broke. And they perceived me a certain way. They thought when they came in my house, Johnny, my house was going to be a certain way. See, I'm not broke and I have money, but you can't tell it by how I live. My house needs a lot of work. Things around my house needs a lot of work. I drive my truck that I drive because I choose to. It's not because everything's perfect with it, because, I mean, here lately, I mean, I told y'all about the doors locking and unlocking and all. Come to find out, Johnny, they're about the lock things is about to fall off where the door latches. Well, God, I mean, I've had the truck for 18 years. I mean, you think after 18, some things need tightening up on there. Well, I found that because I was praying, Holy Ghost, what is this? I mean, it's so bad the kids were on the way to school and they'll say, Grandma, can you make it stop? Because it's chink, 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 chink. I mean, just on and on and on all the way to school. And I'm like, no. And I would pray and say, Holy Ghost, what is the problem with this? And he don't always just answer where you hear it. But lo and behold, I went to shut the door one day on my truck, driver's side door, and it didn't close good. So I opened it, and all of a sudden, I see that little round latch right there sticking out. And it's hanging there, Johnny. And I thought, no wonder the locks is locking and unlocking. The doors are not even closing. So I told Scotty, he went around tightening all them locks. Them locks has not locked and unlocked again unless I wanted them to. And him and Travis tell me I need to get a new truck. I don't need a new truck. You know when I get a new truck? In here. I can afford a new truck. And if I couldn't, guess what? Daddy's got good credit. Daddy's got excellent credit to where Mama can get whatever she wanted. But how many knows? I don't got that in here. Something else happened to it. I don't know what. Oh, yeah, now my air conditioner. I have a toggle switch now for my air conditioner. You're either burning up hot or you're freezing like the Arctic. There is no in between. Ain't it, Doris? She has to ride in there with me. Matter of fact, next weekend. Well, my blower quit working. For my heater and my air conditioner. Quit working. Well, Scotty puts a new blower on it, and it burns that up, you know. And, I mean, there's some kind of short something or other. Anyway, usually if he can't figure that out, it takes the Holy Ghost. But anyway, lo and behold, he thinks it's something else, so he puts me a toggle switch in there. Y'all don't know what that is. It's just a little switch that you flip it up or you flip it down. When I hot, I cut it on. When I get froze up, I cut it off and defrost. That's how that operates. Do I want it that way? No. But on the inside, that's not going to make me buy another truck, Sandy. I don't care if the whole thing's toggle switched. It's when I get it in here. Because, see, I have it, the means to add it to me. But I refuse. Because God gave me that truck. I told Scotty, I said he was looking for me one. I waited 2 years. 2 years, I believe God, for a Canyon. I wanted a Canyon in my heart. And I told him, I said, and don't bring me no yellow. I don't like yellow. Told you a while ago when we started, I don't know what I need. Lo and behold, he's driving down the road in Abbeville, and all of a sudden he sees that truck, and he said, I knew it was yours. He goes over there and he talks to the people, and he calls me. Wants me to come up there. He said, I need you to come up here and get your truck. I'm like, oh, yeah, what? He said, and it's yellow. Now I'm like, are you serious? I told you I don't want no yellow. Johnny, yellow's my color. See what I'm talking? You don't know what you need. You don't know what you like. You think you know. But how many knows? The Holy Ghost knows. And it could be not what you would like, and it be Him. And you're like, oh, that's it. I wouldn't pick another color. Do you get what I'm telling you? There's dangers of having money and things. And let me say this, because we just got, I don't know, about 5 minutes. Let me say this. God used to speak to me when I was broke. And when I say broke, there was times that all we had to eat was pinto beans cooked in the crock pot 3 times a day. We ate them for breakfast, lunch, and supper. I got no money. And lo and behold, if God didn't start talking to me about saving money. And I would tell Scotty, he's like, save money, we ain't got no money to save. And that's what I would think. Why are you talking to me about saving money? I ain't got no money to save. I can't even pay my bills. You know, we don't even have enough to. Listen, get a clue. Let me help you, because it took me a long time to get this. If he's talking to you, dealing with you about saving money, get a clue. Money's coming. Money's coming. And he's trying to tell you ahead of time. Because how many knows, whatever he brings, we are to steward over. Whether it is the anointing, whether it is our kids, whether it's money, right? The Bible talks a lot about stewardship of finances and different things that he gives. I mean, parable of talents is a very good one. So if God's dealing with you about saving money, opening a savings account or just saving money, then get a clue, money's coming. You need to make up your heart and your mind now, when it gets here, what you're going to do with it. Amen? Because the reason why he's talking to you about it is because he's going to bring it. And see, if you don't set out in your heart and your mind to do what he said to do with it, if you ain't real careful and control your flesh, you'll spend $10,000 and then you ain't got food for next week. And that's bad. All right, let's see here. God, my glasses is fogged up. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it talks about guarding our heart against greed and covetousness. Covetousness is wanting what other people's got. Well, I'm saved. I don't matter. You're telling me saved people can't covet? Well, I guess God thought they could because it was wrote to Christians. The Bible talks about in Timothy how that we shouldn't trust in uncertain riches. Why? Because riches are exactly like it says, they're uncertain. And I have money, and a lot of my money is tied up. What I mean, I got money in stock market, I got money in land, different things like that. So a lot of my money is tied up. I never think about that money that's in the stock market, rarely. Unless something's brought up about it, then I'm like, oh yeah, you know. Or Scotty will check the stock market and he'll say something about, I don't trust in that. If that money was gone today, Richard, it wouldn't move me at all. Because I don't trust in that money. My God is what brought me that money. And we are doing with it what we believe Scotty felt that he was led of the Lord to do with that. And we trust God to take care of that. But if it was gone tomorrow, I'm not moved. Right? But you cannot trust in money. You might say, well, I've got my money in savings. One glitch of the computer at the bank. You hear what I'm telling you? And it can be gone. I got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or testimony or anything like that before we close? All right, well, recess till 11. I hate to just leave y'all like that.